Do you want to maximize your success with NCUA? Join Mark Treichel as he shares with you the insider's view on passing your exam with flying colors. The With Flying Colors podcast is sponsored by Credit Union Exam Solutions by Mark Treichel. If you would like to work directly with the Credit Union Exam Solutions team and receive support to optimize your results with NCUA so you save time and money, visit us at marktreichel.com to find out more.
Hey everyone, this is Mark Treichel with another episode of With Flying Colors, and this episode is called Merger Madness. Why Merger Madness? Well, March Madness is going on. Watched some basketball games last night, and I think Merger Madness kind of fits because there's a lot of things going on in the merger arena that I want to talk about. But before we get to the madness side of it, there's definitely an increased chatter out there about NCUA shopping credit unions that potentially could have a cost to the insurance fund. Let's just leave it at that, but there is definite chatter out there. And so what happens and how does that work? A few years back, NCUA came out with the NCUA's merger partner registry. And the reason that happened was that the NCUA board would go to events and find out that people were saying, hey, these mergers happen and I'm not invited. And the general implication was that NCUA was involved in more mergers than they were, because those deals, as you know, are made at dinners, on the golf course, at league functions, at phone calls from consultants or phone calls from other credit unions. And the dance of those mergers typically just happens with credit unions, credit union to credit union. However, when a credit union is in trouble and NCUA has to find a home for it, that's when NCUA gets involved. NCUA came up with the Merger Partner Registry, and I'll have a link in the show notes to how you can sign up for that if you're not. But you can basically say that you're interested in assisted mergers or that you're interested in purchase and assumptions, which is a liquidation. It's a form of a merger, but it's a liquidation. And you can sign up and say what areas you're interested in. And when I was at NCUA, and it's still essentially done the same way, I'm sure, if we had a place that was in special actions where there was fraud or loan losses where the credit union was in danger of closing, and we'll get to what that means, we would begin to shop the credit union. We'd look who was interested. You'd download the data and you'd see who could afford to buy them. What does mean afford to buy them mean? It means that you would look at the credit union still being well capitalized and still be able to assimilate any risk. So obviously, if a huge credit union took on a small credit union, that's very easy to assimilate. You have a $500 million credit union wanting to take on a $500 million credit union, and the surviving credit union didn't have that great of capital to begin with. That's the type of situation where you might weed out some players. You'd send out information to those credit unions to see if they're interested, and you'd give them access to certain information. Sometimes it would be on-site, sometimes it would be off-site, on-site review of loans, et cetera, so that you can price what's going on. But the merger registry exists that you can show that, so you can show your interest in that. So what happens when a credit union is going to be chopped? Let's say credit union A and credit union B want to merge, and credit union A is going to survive and they want some money. If you ask for money and approach NCUA for money, NCUA can't just give it to you. They are going to have to shop it, because it used to be that NCUA had to take the least cost bid. Now, that there's a little bit of nuance to that, where you can document why the lowest cost bid isn't in the best interest of the credit union and isn't in the best interest of the insurance fund. And FYI, that typically happens in a political situation where, let's say it's an MDI wanting to merge with an MDI. You may get some questions as a staff member at NCUA from an NCUA board office relative to that. And the reality is the NCUA career staff like to do it by least cost because it's defensible. Now, it's not always required to be least cost, but I would venture to say that 99.9% of the mergers that do result in assistance result in NCUA paying any form of assistance do go to the lowest cost bidder, regardless of that nuance that some NCUA board members wanted written NCUA policy. And push come to shove, the region is going to say, we want to pick the most cost-effective merger for any institution. Now, how do you come up with that can be interesting, because if you came to NCUA and said, I'll take it lock, stock, and barrel, and there's no cost, that's easy. And that's where you can get self-determination, where credit union A can decide they want to go with credit union B. When you have any money that's being involved, that would involve a bid. Now, what do you put in the bid? And is there a standard form for a bid? No, there's not a standard form. Just like every credit union is different, every bid is different. You may have contracts that, and so let's assume we're dealing with a credit union that has 3% net worth or 4% net worth, and NCUA wants to shop it. They think there might be a cost. They think there might not be a cost, but you come in, you price the loans, you say, I only want to take on member shares. Let's say a credit union had done a lot of non-members deposits. You can convert it from a merger discussion to a purchase and assumption. And a purchase and assumption is a liquidation where you just buy certain things. You purchase certain things and you assume certain things. You purchase assets and you assume certain liabilities. Anything that's not written into that contract stays with NCUA and stays with the insurance fund. Now, it used to be you could do this and repudiate contracts very easily, but the vendors got better and better at writing these contracts, making it harder to do that. Now, in some instances that can be done, in some instances it can't be done. And oftentimes, just like in a normal merger, the contracts that you're inheriting as it relates to data processing can be a little tricky, but there are some strategies where you can look at that and not require particular contracts and put that burden on to NCUA and the insurance fund. Now, of course, this also gets into what type of credit union are you, right? If you're a community charter under the normal rules, you can only merge with a credit union that fits your community. If you're a multiple common bond credit union, you can merge with a multiple common bond credit union. Again, I'm talking federal charters here. Obviously, there's state rules that work, and the state decides how that works. If there is determined to be an emergency merger and a credit union being in danger of closing, you can have a multiple common bond credit union acquire a community, or a community require multiple common bond, and get a hybrid field of membership. But again, that's only if NCUA determines that it's an emergency and determine that the credit union is insolvent or in danger of closing, which I'll get into a little bit more here in a minute. If NCUA says the burden of proof is not there, that you haven't demonstrated, or we cannot demonstrate for you that it is in danger of closing, you can still do a merger, but you'd only get the merger, the members of record, and not the different form of field of membership other from what you were. So in this instance, if you were a multiple common bond and you wanted to pick up a community credit union and it was not determined to be in danger of closing, you could only get the members of record. So what is an emergency merger and what is in danger of solvency? I'm going to get to that here. And the actual language that NCUA has on their website talks about qualifying for an emergency, that NCUA may authorize an emergency merger between federally insured credit unions without regard to field of membership or other usual legal restraints if the credit union to be merged is either insolvent or in danger of insolvency. And the NCUA determines that an emergency requiring expeditious actions exists with respect to the insured credit union. Other alternatives are not reasonably available, and the public interest would be best served by approval of such merger, consolidation, purchase, or assumption. So essentially, if it's insolvent and in danger, NCUA can determine it's in the best interest of the public to do this. It can allow it this type of merger to happen. What does insolvent or in danger of insolvency, insolvent or in danger of insolvency mean? When making the determination that a particular credit union is in danger of insolvency, the NCUA will establish that the credit union falls into one or more of the following categories. The credit union's net worth is declining at a rate that will render it insolvent within 30 months. In projecting future net worth, the NCUA may rely on data in addition to call report data. The trend must be supported by at least 12 months of historic data. So you have a 5% net worth. You have a 4% net worth if you can show that the losses over the last 12 months or additional data in addition to that 12-month data would show that you would be insolvent, have liabilities greater than your assets over a 30-month period, meaning the projections show that if you lose money at that same pace, that you will be insolvent after 30 months, NCUA can do an emergency merger. Another clause is the credit union's net worth is declining at a rate that will take it under 2% net worth within 18 months. In projecting future net worth, the NCUA may rely on data in addition to the call report data. The trend must be supported by at least 12 months of historic data. So now here it's saying that you, instead of being insolvent, that you would fall below 2%. So if you fall below 2%, NCUA has to close you, and NCUA has to conserve you. So that's why that's another way of looking at it. So if you're going to fall below 2 within 18 months, you can effect a merger where you could acquire the field of membership. And if you are insolvent within 30 months. So in some instances, one of those calculations might be easier to hit. Another clause is the credit union's net worth as self-reported on its call report is significantly undercapitalized, and NCUA determines there is no reasonable prospect of the credit union becoming adequately capitalized in the succeeding 36 months. In making this determination on the prospect of achieving adequate capitalization, the NCUA will assume that if adverse economic conditions are affecting the value of credit union's assets and liabilities, including property values and loan delinquencies related to unemployment, these adverse conditions will not further deteriorate. Or if the credit union has been granted or received assistance under Section 208 of the Federal Credit Union Act in the 15 months prior to the regional office's determination that the credit union is in danger of insolvency. So Section 208 assistance would be something like a guarantee of your line of credit at the corporate, because the corporate was not willing to borrow you money, but NCUA knew that you'd have a run if they didn't guarantee the line of credit. That's the most common use of Section 208 assistance in the world that we're living in right now. So those are scenarios and how you can have an emergency merger. Those are definitions of insolvency or danger of insolvency, which helps credit unions with different types of federal field of memberships merge regardless of what the Federal Credit Union Act requires for field of membership in that regard. But that all links back to the merger registry. And again, I'm hearing an uptick of chatter about NCUA shopping credit unions with the potential for payment from the insurance fund. Why is that? Because the stresses that have happened because of the pandemic, because of the 500 basis point increase in Fed funds rate and interest rates, because of the shock that has put on credit union's financial statement, the increasing delinquency, although that's very situational, increasing delinquency impacting some credit unions. So, okay, I'm going to pivot here to the fact that, just a kind of a general comment, I think mergers will continue to increase, despite the fact that the Biden administration is asking the FDIC and OCC to scrutinize mergers more frequently. And why do I say that? It's because of the short-sighted approach, in my opinion, on the attack on fees, calling things junk fees that are not really junk fees, where there's an overreaction that I believe is going to have a chilling effect on fees, which will have a short-term gain for some people of modest means, but in the long term will lead to harder ability for credit unions in particular niches and small credit unions to survive. So despite the fact that NCUA is going to increase reporting on large credit unions on overdrafts, and despite the fact that NCUA is planning a consumer compliance examination on larger credit unions, that inevitably will trickle down everywhere. It just happens. It happens with the staff at NCUA. It happens with the board saying, okay, let's slice the next layer off this onion. I'm expecting mergers will go up because the administrative burden will continue to go up. And of course, that can be impacted by elections coming up. Does Biden win? Do the Republicans win? Et cetera, et cetera. There's a pendulum that's swinging, but right now it's swinging towards higher regulation. It's swinging for junk fees being a mantra. It's swinging towards all that, in my mind, increasing merger because of that regulatory burden. Now, specifically in regards to Biden, what's driving that? Well, there was an order from the Biden administration from July of 2021 that the FDIC is just getting around to dealing with. And let me find the specific reference here. So in the order, the president stated, announces an administration policy on greater scrutiny of mergers, especially by dominant internet platforms, with particular attention to the acquisition of nascent competitors, serial mergers, the accumulation of data, competition by free products, and the effect on user privacy. It goes on to highlight banking and consumer finance. And the order said, over the past four decades, the United States has lost 70% of the banks it once had. With around 10,000 bank closures, communities of color are disproportionately affected, with 25% of all rural closures in majority-minority census tracts. Many of these closures are the product of mergers and acquisitions. Though subject to federal review, federal agencies have not formally denied a bank merger application in more than 15 years. I'm going to repeat that sentence. Though subject to federal review, federal agencies have not formally denied a bank merger application in more than 15 years. So that's a very carefully worded sentence. Not denied, not formally denied. The trick of the regulators is they say you haven't provided enough support for me to approve it. That's not a denial. That's not a formal denial. So mergers die on the vine all the time because they say you haven't complied. Give us more data. Give us more data. It's the same thing. Credit union looking for a field of membership. You're trying to prove that. And it was more so when it was more of an art to community charters. But NCUA, if they defer your action because you didn't provide enough support, that's not a denial. And some agencies, in some instances, it could be viewed that they use deferrals to reduce the ability for that to be appealed, because if it is a deferral, there's really been no final action. But anyway, bank mergers don't always get approval, but that doesn't mean that they've been formally denied. It goes on to say excessive consolidation raises costs for consumers. Actually, the costs for the consumers are going to go up because of all the mergers that people are pretending won't happen because they're attacking junk fees, which will get passed on in other ways, right? They're playing whack-a-mole, in my opinion, on this. Restricts credit for small businesses and harms low-income communities. Branch closures can reduce the amount of small business lending by about 10% and leads to higher interest rates. Even where a consumer has multiple options, it is hard to switch banks, partly because customers cannot easily take their financial transaction history data to a new bank. That increases the cost of the new bank extending you credit. So why am I walking you through this? Well, it's because the FDIC took some action relative to this and has proposed a rule called a request for comment on proposed statement of policy on bank merger transactions. And of course, this is a credit union podcast, not a banking podcast, but this does impact credit unions. If you look at what is in the language of this proposal, it basically highlights that these new procedures they're going to put in place and are proposing to put in place on mergers of banks impacts credit unions that want to buy banks. Specifically, according to the proposed statement of policy, any merger transactions between an FDIC-insured depository institution, an IDI, and the credit union requires FDIC approval. Under the Bank Merger Act specifically, the BMA, although credit unions are insured by the NCUA, they are not considered IDIs under the Federal Deposit Insurance Act. Therefore, any merger transaction between an IDI and a credit union is subject to FDIC approval under Section 18C1 of the BMA. The proposed statement of policy clarifies that the FDIC has jurisdiction to act on any merger application that involves an IDI and a non-insured entity, which includes credit unions. Merger applications involving a credit union are subject to the same statutory factors as any other merger application under the BMA. However, the FDIC will tailor its review to the nature, complexity, and scale of the entities involved in the transaction. So, in summary, the proposed policy makes clear that the FDIC's approval is required for any merger between an FDIC-insured bank or thrift and a credit union, and the FDIC will evaluate such applications under the statutory factors outlined in the BMA. Now, the ABA is excited that it highlights this fact because they don't want credit unions to be able to buy banks. And there are some of those things that have happened over time. There's been an increase of credit union purchases by banks. And I think should this rule go final, the other regulators could use it as a way to put a chilling effect on credit unions' ability to buy banks, which would be sad because going back to the fact that I think there's a lot of data that shows that when credit unions acquire branches or when credit unions acquire some banks that big banks don't want, it's because the credit unions want to serve the people in that area and the banks are not doing it. And if the bank ended up getting liquidated instead of sold to a credit union or sold to a bank that would then shut that area down, the ability for people of modest means to be served in that area goes down. So the ability of credit unions to buy banks is a good thing. I think these proposed rules, if ever finalized, will have a chilling effect. By the way, it was approved by a vote of 3-2 with the D's voting one way and the R's voting another way. Again, this could be impacted by the election coming down the road, unless, of course, it's made final before November, and unless, of course, there is no change at the White House in power, the party in power. All right, lastly, also hearing an uptick in small credit unions being pressured a little bit to merge by NCUA, and what can drive that? Operational problems, accounting problems, solvency, all the things that make a small credit union potentially unsafe and sound as it relates to the insurance fund. And I think what you're going to want to do if you find yourself in that situation is NCUA at some point in time will want you to have part of your decision tree that you will consider merger. And with a little bit of capital left, you have the ability for self-determination. I have heard some rumblings where a credit union felt they were trying to be pushed in one direction as opposed to another direction. And quite possibly if that happens, it's because NCUA knows the credit union you're wanting to merge with might not have the capacity to do it. And they can't really say that to you. So instead of steering you in one direction, they may steer you in another direction. But if you find yourself in that situation, you should put together the list of credit unions you want to consider, that you want to come in and do due diligence, that you want to court your board to figure out why and who might make the most sense should you decide that you are in the arena of needing to merge. All right. I appreciate you listening. As always, I hope you'll listen again soon. This is Mark Trankel signing off with Flying Colors.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of With Flying Colors. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app to hear future episodes where subject matter experts of all varieties will provide tips on how to achieve success with NCUA. If you would like to learn more about how we assist credit unions, check out our services at marktreichel.com.